This is Margaret Copeman Frankowitz with another episode of Diabetic Survival. Now, I know that you have just been dying for the next episode to come out. Okay, I'm just kidding there because I have actually pumped out a few of them in the past couple weeks. Okay, so anyways, I just thought I would be a voice for the people who like to hear me and to my haters as well. How are you doing? So hopefully I have more liked subscriptions than haters because, you know, trolls are everywhere. So if you're a troll, just keep on scrolling. Oh, wait, just turn off my station. Go listen to something else. I don't want to be the most interesting podcast out there. Okay, I guess that's what I'm saying, that has you wrapped around my half an hour, an hour of, you know, talking about things. So, but anyways, if you're new to Diabetic Survival, thank you for joining in and listening to what I have to say about stuff as a diabetic girl. So remember, do not take this as medical advice. I am not a doctor, as I've mentioned multiple times. I'm not a dietitian. I am just a diabetic girl that has been living with diabetes since 2010. Well, pre-diabetes 2010, diabetes since 2018. So I get on here and I just tell the happenings of what's going on in diabetes. Okay, so first and foremost, I have to say, Rosie O'Donnell always gets in the news somehow. And recently she's come under fire. And this is kind of like laughable, but kind of not type of deal. But she's a type 2 diabetic, right? So I'm calling you out, Rosie. You're type 2 diabetic. I'm calling you out. Okay. Anyways, I guess, I don't know if she's starting it or somebody else is starting it. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but you know what? She might be a supplier. Okay. I'm just going to get it out there. All right. Sorry, Rosie. I called you out. Anyways, they're having, they're having Ozempic, and sometimes I call it Ozempic. It's not Ozempic. It's Ozempic parties in Hollywood or wherever they call their Hollywood, wherever that may be. But they're having fat burning parties. So according to what the news is saying, this is like all the ladies rage. Like, how dare they use a diabetes drug to lose weight? Well, Rosie O'Donnell, she's already type 2, so she can do whatever she wants to with her share of Ozempic. If she wants to help her fellow celebrities lose weight, well, I don't think she's a doctor either, so, but, you know, hey, I'm laughing at this, not because of the possible shortage or anything. I mean, there's always metformin to fall back on or whatnot, but, because this is funny, because they also have a weight loss drug, which is much more expensive just because they've changed the name on it, which is the same thing Ozempic is, so, it's just much more expensive. So, there's that. So, it's rumored that that's how, and you know, this doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's a rumor doesn't mean it's true, okay? It's rumored that's how Kim Kardashian fit into Marilyn Monroe's dress. Good for her. And some other things. So, I can definitely tell you that since I'm on Ozempic and I'm like in week 6 or whatnot, one of my problem areas since I was a child has been my midsection. It looks funny. It always has. And, of course, you know, when you're dealing with hormones and stuff, it's kind of a little bit hard to eat for that. You know, I'm not like a mad scientist or anything or mad nutritionist or anything, but working on it. And, so one of the things I've seen is a reduction in that area, which I have never, ever seen in any diet that I've ever been on. I have not seen with exercise, but like it's literally just attacking the midsection, which is where you need to lose the fat, according to what my endocrinologist has told me. Yeah, that's another story for, you know, I'm going to talk about my endocrinologist in a bit. So this is really good. This is burning the fat where it needs to be burned type deal. So I've lost a little bit of weight, probably not as extensive as I at first thought, but I've done pretty good, and have not weighed myself this week because last week I was a little bit disappointed because I think I had only either gained or dropped 2 pounds. I think, okay, I'm done looking at this. I'm just going to let my Ozempic work, watch my diet, make sure I'm not taking in too many calories, and just kind of go from there. But I've had dramatic results, not necessarily with my diabetes. I'll finally see what my A1C is in March. But as far as my blood pressure goes, my blood pressure has dropped to numbers that I can't even believe. So my bottom numbers have always been historically, since I was 35, you know, 15 years, in the 80s and 90s, which is considered high. So it's been high for a long time. And when they report, see, systolic is the top, diastolic is the bottom, I believe. So when the diastolic was in the 70s, I just about lost my mind. I'm like, you gotta check my blood pressure again. I've never had it down in the 70s. Like, what? Like, wow. I'm just amazed, okay? So this is something that, like, when I think about Rosie O'Donnell's, you know, little Ozempic party or whatnot, I'm like, that's really weird to me. But you know what? I mean, they could be doing worse things. Like, they could be doing cocaine or something or pills or whatever. So the fact that they're on Ozempic is kind of like a little bit laughable. Now, of course, they've tried scaring people with the side effects, like the whole Ozempic face. And yeah, nobody really wants a flat, saggy face or flat, saggy jowls or legs or whatever. But I'll be honest with you, that bounces back. If you're over a certain age, though, it may not. That's at that point in time, I'd actually check in with a dietitian, see what can be done to try to prevent that, because, some people are concerned about that. I'm not necessarily concerned about that. I don't care if it makes me look like a raisin. I don't care. Just have me lose the weight. I don't care. But I'm not actually, like, weight loss has not been my goal. I just want to make that clear. I mean, the side effects of taking Ozempic for my diabetes has been to lose weight, but let's get real here. The whole point in losing the weight is so that my body can regulate and use the insulin that it does have to reduce my diabetes. My number one goal is not my weight. It's not how I look. It's in a reduction or elimination of my diabetes. So I'll never get rid of my diabetes, but I at least can control it through certain approved medications. I said it. Okay. So, I mean, if Holly Weird, and of course I call them Holly Weird sometimes, if they want to use it to lose weight, I mean, more power to them. I guess that the suppliers are just going to have to step up and produce more is all I got to say. I mean, there are worse drugs out there that they could be taking. So, as far as I'm concerned, but as long as they're aware of the risks and side effects, I mean, you should be getting this stuff from your doctor anyway, right? Doctors, pharmacists, etc. You should be checking with your doctor to see if it's right for you. Obviously, if it's rumored that Kim Kardashian actually lost like 5 or 10 pounds on Ozempic just so she could fit into Marilyn Monroe's dress, obviously that's a vanity issue. That's not a health issue. It's none of my freaking business anyways, nor is it anybody else's business. It was just kind of funny that they were actually newscasting such shallow information. Okay. That's my opinion on it. Okay. So anyways, let's get to my, I told you a little bit about what my endocrinologist had said, and I had been looking forward to that date when I actually saw my endocrinologist. There might be a couple of other, specialists I need to see as well in the future, but hopefully, this will do it. So I got razzed for, because she had asked me what I ate that morning, and I told her I ate 3 chicken strips. Now, of course, they were the chicken tenderloins. They were not breaded. They were just regular strips. Put a little bit of coconut oil in the pan and fried them up. Also put, did I put butter in there? No, I didn't put butter in there. I put chili powder, garlic powder, you know, seasoned them up well, ate them. I was full. I didn't know if that was going to be my last meal for the day or if I was going to eat later. I ended up and I decided to eat later as well. So I ate like a 4-ounce steak later, roast steak. It's, you know, cheap cut, cost me a whole dollar. But anyways, so she was concerned that I wasn't getting enough calories, which might be the case. Ozempic really does kill the appetite, but I think more importantly is the fact that I feel kind of dumb because it's not that I'm not getting enough calories. I am getting enough calories from me because you have to have enough calories to burn fat. Otherwise, your body goes into starvation mode. This is something that I know, but sometimes you let it slip. Sometimes when you really want, for instance, a drug to work correctly, like Ozempic, right? I really want that drug to work for me. I'm going to watch my calories. I'm going to try to increase my activity. There are things I'm going to do to try to make sure that I can actually lose the weight that I can lose. So it's not 100% I'm being lazy and just on Ozempic. There's other things that I'm doing. I'm just not doing what I used to do, like back in my 30s. Where I'd go for like a 2-hour swim or I would actually lift weights for 2 hours. I'm not doing anything like that right now. I'm just doing like increasing my walking and maybe doing some exercises when I'm at home, some strengthening exercises. But I mean, other than that, I'm not like going overboard or anything of that nature. And just because I just don't want to, you know, like when you're reducing your calories already, you don't have the energy. So I don't know how people get up there and do 2.5-3 hours or whatnot without certain nutrients. But since there's things that I cannot eat anymore, like fruits, a lot of fruits I can't eat unless they're like berries. Like I can eat like cherries and blueberries, boysenberries, and all kinds of different berries and delicious strawberries. Just not things like watermelon and stuff. I gotta watch that. Once in a blue moon, maybe. I'm not getting the same nutrients that, you may get as a normal person, if you're normal watching this. So I don't get certain nutrients. So I have to actually take supplements, which lately I've been very bad about taking. So, which brings me to another topic I want to talk to you. I was actually watching Dr. Berg. And Dr. Berg will come up with certain things that I need to watch. And, you know, I'm on YouTube and next thing I know, I get this little message. This is what you need to know about hypertension or whatnot. So, of course, I'm going to watch it. You know, that's of interest to me. And there were 3 nutrients that you actually need for a happy heart. And that is magnesium. There's 2 others. Potassium. And okay, so remember, I'm not a doctor here, so I'm just a forgetful diabetic girl. And there was 1 other thing. I don't know if it was calcium or not, but there's 3 different nutrients that you actually need for a happy heart. And I do potassium. So potassium, magnesium. What is the other one? Calcium. Is it calcium? Okay, just go watch the Dr. Berg's latest on hypertension. You'll be able to see that there on YouTube. But anyways, so when you have these key ingredients, then, you know, of course your blood pressure is going to be reduced. This may be something as simple as a baked potato, for instance, which I did happen to have the night before that I just totally blanked out that I had. I was just, and so that brings up another question is cravings, because I was really craving a baked potato the night before. And I bought these wonderful, I couldn't pass them up, these buttery potatoes. You know, that's when they're yellow on the outside skin and their skin's really thin, kind of like a red skin potato. and they just look like they're just pure butter, and they call them a butter potato, but it's more like a red skin potato or something like that. They're really good. So, I mean, I don't know if you're going to Sam's Club, check them out. So I just had one potato, and of course, potato is a starch. And of course, you know, I generally give the cross to anything, you know, like the poison cross, like, ah, I don't want that. Because anything that is starchy is going to turn into a sugar and then, of course, affect my cells in my body and make me feel like crap. But I was really craving whatever was in that potato, and my body was just like, go eat that freaking potato. And sure enough, the next day my blood pressure was low, and but they were a little bit concerned about my pulse. And I realized this after the fact, but it's like kind of like when you get a eureka moment, but you already kind of knew this information, you just forgot because you have so much shoved into your head that, you know, you got to think about it for a day or two. I mean, this could be deadly in certain instances if you don't know this stuff, but if you just learned it right away and you can practice it, then it's probably a good thing. But I realize that probably one of the reasons why I actually do get the high heart rate is because I need water. I need to make sure that I'm hydrated. And a lot of people go through this. This is where you're peeing a lot. You do risk actually becoming dehydrated. You know, drinking coffee, drinking tea, drinking water, drinking a diet soda, diet sugar-free soda. Make sure it's sugar-free is good for you. Stay away from the sugar. The sugar's it's just complicating things for you as a diabetic. But these are things that are going to keep you hydrated, especially, you know, the water. Water's like, think about it, 100% infused hydration. But I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, that's the reason why my pulse was racing yesterday when I was in the doctor's office, because everything else checked out pretty good. They didn't test my blood sugar, but I gotta still test that. But everything else was testing in the remarkable category, like as far as I was concerned. And she was concerned about the top number, the systolic and diastolic. You know, the systolic's the top number, diastolic's the bottom number of your blood pressure. So the systolic was 134, and she was concerned about that. And I'm just laughing. The bottom number was like 70 the first time, and then 78. So I was just kind of like, you know, just kind of like laughing. She's kind of looking at me. She's like, well, it's kind of high. And I'm like going, you don't understand. I've been in the hospital before where it was like 200 over 110. So I'm not complaining about, you know, 134 over 70. I'm just like poo, poo, poo. Because even back when I was 35, I couldn't produce a blood pressure result like that. Now, mind you, the top number was lower, like maybe 128, like around 128, 130 or whatnot. But it never shot up the way that it did, like for instance when I was at the doctor's office. So I'm at the conclusion where, you know, it's a mystery to my doctors why my blood pressure gets up that high. It might be an allergy that I'm allergic to, which means I need to see a specialist for that. But, you know, I guess only time can really tell. And I'm not pressing the sense of urgency on it just because I think it is kind of like a nutrient defect. So, and what reminds me about this is the fact that my doctor had asked me, and this is the specialist, mind you, the endocrinologist, she said, are you taking your vitamin D? Now, people, what is that telling you as a diabetic? That is telling you that's one vital, I mean, all nutrients are vital, okay? You know, there's a reason why doctors tell us this. But we, especially diabetics, I mean, actually the whole excuse me, smoker's cough. Okay, the whole general population lacks vitamin D in their diet. You're human. It's okay. You just need to make sure to supplement that. Go get yourself like the liquid supplements at Walmart. It's only like $6. You keep it in your fridge, you put it under the tongue, and then you forget about it. Okay? So nutrients are very important, but you know, oftentimes we forget that, you know, because it's something we may learn about, but we don't practice on a regular basis. And so it's kind of like it takes a while to become a habit. excuse me. Or then you might run out of a nutrient, right? And let's say you can only get it through Amazon. You run out of something, like if I ran out of my celery powder, which is there to help lower blood pressure as well. I actually put that on my food, and it's something I don't even think about mentioning to the doctor when I go in there. So, but I bought a big enough container, it was going to last me like a year or something. But if I go in there and I don't have my celery powder, let's say it's actually been what's helping to lower my blood pressure, the doctor's going to be like, what happened? You must be something in your diet. You're eating wrong or something. No, I just forgot my nutrient. That's all. So, keep up on your nutrients. Definitely. Make a list of them. I hate lists. Don't you hate lists? I hate lists. I like, really. If I write something down, excuse me again. If I write something down, I'm going to forget about it. It's like a guarantee. I don't check my lists, especially when they're on my phone. Now, if I wrote them down, I would probably check them. But if it's on my phone, good luck if I even remember it. So, let's see what else. Okay, so one of the attendants at the clinic's office that I went to yesterday to see the endocrinologist, she said something weird to me. Okay, so I wanted to get in about this, and of course my haters are gonna be all on top of this, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody or anything. But what she said was so weird, and it's like one of those things that you say where you just want to put your foot down and shake the person and go, you don't use it for that. Why are you abusing it like that? So, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you have people like Rosie O'Donnell having parties with Ozempic, and it's like, okay. But, and I may have misunderstood this lady, but she was saying that her, you know, this... Okay, I can't even really talk about it. Yeah, I can. Excuse me. And now, mind you, if you're listening to this and you think this is about you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go ahead and point it out. I didn't tell you to your face because I'm in a clinic setting where you could get the blood pressure cuff and, like, literally cut off the blood to my fingers, and I'm just not going to say it to you, right? But you're saying it as you're walking away, and I'm just kind of looking at you like, you don't care about my opinion. So that's perfectly fine. But I'm going to talk about it because I think that everything you told me was absolutely bat shit insane. Okay? Just going to say it. Getting it out there. I mean, this is coming from people that I thought were professionals. Okay? So if you're going to get the paycheck, the professional paycheck, at least act like it. And you know what? Acting professionals not making a comment and then running away. Just not doing it. I know you're busy, but whatever. So she said, not pointing fingers at anybody. How do I say this without, like, I'm not trying to gossip either, okay? So, okay, I'm not going to even talk about what she said, okay? But, well, yeah, I am going to say what she said because it was just so horrific. I'm just kind of like, something about, okay, the conversation went something like this, and I'm not going to say the whole thing because I'm not trying to, like, embarrass her or anything like that, okay? So, lady, if you're listening, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't know if you, like, hate me or what, for whatever reason, but it's unnecessary. I'm just a diabetic girl. Please take care of me because I'm going to your clinic. But she said something about her daughter not having diabetes and actually just using it as a weight loss drug, and I was a little bit dumbfounded. I'm just like, okay, well, we kind of already knew that's what people were going to be using it for, right? So see, I'm not calling you out per se. I'm just saying this is kind of like contradictory, but I mean, maybe they even know it as well, that Ozempic is going to help people, you know, with their vanity issues of losing weight. There was also another article I was reading about how just because you have some fluff on you doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy. And that's very true. That is very true. Because when you have one girl who's, let's say she's 200 pounds, right? And she's exercising every day. And I mean, She's not fat. She's muscle. Okay. Like if you poked her, if you poked that bear, you'd find that there's like not maybe guy type muscle, but you'd find out she's a pretty strong person, probably lift you over her shoulder and carry you off. Right. So, as compared to, you know, this 97, 98 pound lady over here that has to sleep all the time because she's so exhaustedly tired. I mean, if she did eat something, she'd probably have a bit more energy, but she doesn't want to do it. And, you know, this does happen. And she's actually got some bad body fat on her because she doesn't work out at all. So, but then just don't judge a book by its cover, in other words. I'm not pointing fingers to anybody. So, people think that everything is so obvious and they just totally foo-foo off the whole hormonal thing as if it's just a joke when it's not. So this is the reason why extremely skinny guys, like, you know, your 130 pound dudes who've been that way all their lives, could only get to 140 if they put two bricks in their pocket and carried, you know, like some boulders or something. They can eat everything. They can eat you out of house and home. They can make you broke. Like once they leave, you notice that your grocery bill goes down by about $400, right? Those type of guys. And they just eat everything in the sun, under the sun, and it's not like they work out very much. And if they do gain like 5 pounds or something, you know, they take their little fingers and they pinch their little sides and they get like a quarter of an inch or whatnot of skin. And like, oh no, I'm getting fat. And then they go for a 15-mile bike ride. I mean, they really just go all out. They come home and they're thin. And you're like, you just lost 10 pounds. And they're like, yeah, yeah, I feel better now. And yeah, you don't want to strangle them, but at the same time, you admire them. And at the same time, you're just going to like stick a fork in your thigh because what's the point, right? It's your hormones. So you get them under control and you're going to be able to control your weight loss. So diet plays a little bit of a role and exercise plays a little bit of a role. But generally speaking, if you're moving around pretty busy anyways, probably busy enough. If you're working in an office though, probably not busy enough. Sorry, but not sorry on that one. But if you're doing like deliveries or something like what I was doing, you're going to be burning a lot of calories. So, I mean, what are you going to work 8 to 12 hours and then go to the gym? I mean, you just did a full workout all day. So, you know, use your best discretion on that. You at the end, are going to see your results, but I'm just trying to say that not every diet out there is created equal or will work for everybody. And, of course, you know, with people trying different diets and just to lose that 10 extra, those 10 additional pounds or 15 pounds or whatnot, they're just as valid as anybody who needs to, like, the world's, you know, 600-pound lady who needs to lose about 500 pounds or so, right? Or we'll be fair, 480. Massive, massive feat. I can't even think about how that person even feels with that thinner weight. It's just so surreal to me. That's like, what? Okay, so I have some new goals this year. Hopefully you guys have some new goals too. It's January. It's towards the end of the month. And I have decided I'm going to make a healthy goal. And one of my healthy goals is, one, I'm going to start an exercise routine. So I'm going to map this out and plan it out, how I'm going to do this. Another thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get my health under control. My numbers were actually looking a little bit wacky woo in 2022 and in 2023. And after speaking to my endocrinologist, I am fairly confident that I can get my blood sugar numbers to something better than even average, the average healthy human individual. So that's my goal this year. And I'm super excited about it, about actually reaching this goal, because it will happen if I just continue on with what I'm doing. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because if it's reachable for me, it's reachable for you. And even if it's not reachable for me, let's say I fail at it, it's still reachable for you. And I would absolutely not give up. I've heard too many stories where people are just like, oh yeah, I'm diabetic, I'm just gonna like go with the flow. Aren't you gonna take medications? Nah, I'm just gonna do what the doctor says. The medications, I'm still gonna eat like normal. I'm not changing my diet. I love my pasta and bread too much. Or I love my potatoes. Or I love my fast food, my muffins, etc. Let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something. That's so selfish. What about your family? You think your family's gonna miss you once you're gone? You don't think they're not going to cry over you? So selfish. Think about your family. Think about your friends. Your friends who want to talk to you, but they can't. Now you're not there in their lives. Now they're depressed. And you might say, oh, well, I never meant anything to my friends anyways. Well, maybe you did. Maybe you meant something to somebody who's going to miss you terribly. You know, there comes a point in everybody's time when we need to pass on, right? And, you know, that's fine. When grandparents die, the parents die. Maybe you might lose a sibling or two before, you know, your demise. You lose a few friends. Whatever. But, you know, that's the support network. That when you have it for life. And that's something else I was going to talk about is support networks, because you're going to just find that, well, as you know, people don't stick around. You know, they pretend to be your friend. They don't stick around. They're gone. They're off the charts, gone, just disappeared. And it's okay. I mean, they got their lives. And you might be a little bit depressed, and that's okay. You'll bounce back, right? Then there are the friends that, you know, you knew in school, and you hung out all the time, and then all of a sudden they just drop off the face of the planet, and you're just like, what the heck, right? But let's say the relationship was a little bit strained anyways after you became adults. It's all right. People change. And, you know, it goes to show me how short life actually is. About how your personal relationships with your friends and family, they matter. We may have people who hurt us. They still matter to us. Just wish them well. Make sure to forgive. And then make sure to move on. Which is going to slide into my next segment here. And that is friendships that have gone sideways. Like, what the heck, people? I understand you have a life and stuff, but really, you're just gonna like cut me off just like that? Psh. Yeah. So, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I've seen some things on TikTok. It's like, oh, that person, you know, they said something negative about your dress, just cut them off. You don't need that type of negativity. Blah, 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 blah. Like, this world is so weird to me. When I was growing up, I had my group of friends that we had our clique. We had the people that we hung out with. We were just a bunch of misfits, and we knew it. But I don't know, I guess after our group was growing, it felt more like a superpower in a way. It was just kind of like one of those things where we felt like we had each other's backs. And so it was just like, nobody's going to say anything mean about my friend because I will go beat them up, which is not true. We would never beat anybody up with this. Maybe words, but not, you know, we're not cruel or anything like that. We weren't running anything illegal or anything. I mean, we're not going to do that. We're not the mafia. But we were just there to protect others. So let's say, like, I had this quirk where I would go hide in the library when I, like, all through middle school, elementary school, even high school, because my bullies were in the classroom. So I used things such as restroom breaks and nurses' breaks to try to get out of that, because you know, you come up with, some, you know, kids are stupid too. Okay, sorry kids, but you are. They'd come up to you and say something just absolutely just off the wall, like, you're fat. I mean, they would say stupid, retarded things like this, and you're just trying to do your work, right? And you're just laying out looking at them like, you know, okay, so you want to call them an idiot, but, you know, you don't want to be rude, so you don't say anything at all. It's like going, okay, they hurt me, but I'm not going to hurt them back. I'm just going to ignore it. And then when it happens over and over and over again, you kind of wonder why. And, you know, the teacher will tell them to settle down and stuff, and that's good. I'm glad that there's, you know, a babysitter in the classrooms and all. But that mean kid will do it over and over and over again like a broken record because there's really something mentally wrong with that person, you know, the bully. So they want to bully somebody because they don't know what positive attention is. Obviously, their parents had never fed them positive attention. So there's obviously, you know, that's how they make friends, I guess. I don't know. So anyways, me and a couple other girls, we created this clique, and some of the guys too. So there's a couple of guys in our clique as well. And it just grew exponentially because, you know, we were just always inviting people. You needed to have a group of people, you know, have your back. Just join us and we'll take care of you. And we don't expect anything back. And we're not going to haze you. We're not going to do anything cool like that. You just got to accept our quirkinesses, you know, like expect the fact that I may laugh a lot, or my friend over here may read a lot of books, or my friend over here may do a lot of paintings or something. They just have their own little quirks, their own little worlds they get into. Or this lady over here, she may do a lot of reporting or something of that nature. So we were considered the strange group. And so I had even typed up somewhere, like, for instance, I saw an article about Elon Musk and about how Elon Musk, you know, he was teased and taunted and punched in the face, and he was treated horribly. Like, if he was in my clique and my group of friends, like, if I saw somebody do something like that to my friend, I would, like, not, like, I would try to prevent it for one. But the thing is I would have protected my friend. And, like, male, female, don't care. I would have done my best to protect my friend. That's the only time, like, in self-defense, that's way different than going out and bullying and trying to start a fight and all this other kind of stuff, which people do just because they're bored, you know, because they don't have a life or a brain. Or they got to talk a bunch of smack about, oh, well, that person's like, you know, just whatever stupid stuff they're doing. They're not paying attention to, they're not reflecting on themselves and how they can better themselves, or trying to tear down other people to make themselves feel better because they feel like shit. Like, oh, let's just call it out what it is, right? And that's just not right. It's not how you do things. And you see grown freaking ass adults doing this as well. And this is what's so disappointing. You have people doing this in the workforce. You have people doing this in the medical care center. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous. So they're going to be, you know, and people are just going to be jealous. But it's really, because they're trying to intimidate other people. And it works. It does intimidate people. But it also gives you a bad reputation. So, I mean, you want to walk around with a bad reputation of being a bully? Hey, you do you. But if you come into, like, my clique and into my group, we're going to tear you down. Right? So, I mean, it's just kind of like one of those things. We're going to, like, mentally poke out your eyeballs, right? We're not going to physically do it. We're going to mentally do it. Like, ugh, that person. Oh, yeah, I know they're horrible. They talk all kinds of smack about everybody. And, yeah. So, I mean, I like to use the whole love your neighbor type business. So I'm going to love my neighbor. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have a sense of humor. I do have a sense of humor. But I have a sense of humor to what I can understand. You know, it's just like, you know, when you try to tell a joke to somebody and they just totally don't get it. And, like, let's say it's really funny, but let's say it's a Jim Carrey joke, but they just don't get Jim Carrey. Or a Chuck Norris joke, but they just don't get Chuck Norris. Then they're probably not going to get the joke. It's all right. Try a different joke. Or maybe they're dumb. I don't know. One of the two. So I get it. not everybody's humor is the same. And if you were really good anyways, you'd beat a comedian doing stand-up comedy. But I get it. I get it. So, but don't tear somebody down just because you can. Because you're bored. Because you got more money than they do. Or because you feel better than they do. Or whatever. I mean, that just makes you look like a jerk, you know, to the rest of the world. And there's going to be people that agree with you. And they're here thinking, wow, this is the biggest jerk I've ever met in my whole entire life. And this is how you don't make friends, okay? So I'm the kind of person, I just want to be friends with everybody. You know, as long, if you're kind to me, I'm going to be kind back to you. I don't care what you look like, how much you weigh, what nationality you are, whether you're straight or on the other alphabet spectrum, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to care what religion you are. I don't care if you're Muslim, Catholic, LDS, Christian, don't care. If you're good to me, I'm going to be good back to you. If you're mean to me, like, don't even listen to my podcast. Because, I mean, thank you very much for the rise in popularity, but it's kind of a negative attention I don't need. So go create your own podcast. I do a commercial on that every single podcast. Okay, so anyways, back to my whole diabetic adventure. So I got to do something. I got to go back. Okay, I'm going to talk about the endocrinologist again, because I was so super excited to actually get to my first endocrinology appointment. She has no idea. Like, it was 9 o'clock on a Monday too. And who does Mondays, right? So I'm so super excited. Like, she's like my type of superstar. Like, she has no idea. I can't even remember her name. I'd have to look at the card again. But she is my superstar, because if she gets me to my goal, and it's not, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this again. It's not a weight loss goal. It's strictly about my blood sugars. If I can reach my blood sugar goals of what she was actually talking about, that to me, she's a superstar. Okay. So we'll see what happens here in the future and where I can get it as low to. And, that's it. That's all, folks. So anyways, thank you very much for listening to me ramble on. Let me see. Did I forget anything? I don't think I forgot anything. But I hope that you're enjoying the show. If you do enjoy it, please share it with a fellow diabetic, because this is stuff they got to know. There are little side tricks that you can do to actually lower your blood sugar. There are things that you can do to make yourself feel better. And then there are sometimes complications that you can't do anything about. So, you know, I'll talk about all that stuff here, because it's just stuff that we need to know. And hopefully, in my journey of living with diabetes, which I call my superpower, which, by the way, is I mean, I could call it a handicap, or I can call it a superpower. So I call it a superpower, right? But it's my superpower. The more I learn about it, the more I'm just, it's just a mystery. It's one of those things that I just want to break the code on, you know? It's like, okay, so I'm like, I feel like I'm like that person, like, totally turning that dial, because I know that there's like a gazillion bucks inside the safe. Now, inside my safe that I'm turning, I know that there's like nothing. It's empty. It's like, oh, it's empty, because that's the story of my life. But it's fun to try anyways. It's fun to try to crack the code of how to fight the diabetes, or at least live the best life you possibly can till, you know, you die, whenever that's going to be. And hopefully I don't die from diabetes. Hopefully it'll be from a parachuting accident or something. So gotta have a sense of humor too, right? All right. So anyways, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to me ramble on about diabetes and me being a diabetic and what I'm going through. And I don't think I touched on, I touched on everything for today. So I just want to wish you well once again. Please be kind to each other. So, you know, make some friends if you have to, that are nice. make sure they're of the kind, the caliber type of person that you want to become, not that what you have been. So, you know, uplift yourself and be a better version of yourself. And then, like, make sure, like, the people that you really don't want to hang out with because they got bad habits or whatnot, still help them, but know how to keep a healthy distance so that you don't drop yourself into a lifestyle that's going to harm you. Okay, so if you know what I mean. Because there's a whole lot of that going on too. So just be the best version of yourself that you possibly can be. All right, thank you again, once again, for tuning in. Remember to be kind to each other. Be kind to somebody today. If you can't be kind to a person, be kind to an animal. Or just be kind. Just smile at somebody. I don't care what you do. Just do something kind. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you have a great day.